The first Friday of every month, we roll out our First Friday Arts segment on The Exchange. We run down a list of events in the performing and visual arts and invite you to call with more events and details. And this month, we had a musical sweetener, David Morris and Jack Morris, our father and son musicians from West Virginia. They're in Ashland for a session at the Ashland Independent Film Festival with filmmaker friend Barbara Koppel, who we'll meet in a little while. Again, the numbers for you to take part in our First Friday Arts segment, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. You'll hear events not just from me and some discussion and music from the Morrises, but also from Charlotte Dern, who has some of the other list of events. And we also have some guests to talk to. Here's Roy and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Arts segment.
Thank you. This is Roy with the Camelot Theater Company.
Hi, Roy.
Hi. Mel Brooks' Outrageous Comedy, The Producers, is playing through April 20th this month, and this is certainly one of the funniest productions we've ever done. In fact, it's rated PG-13 for adult humor. Don't miss it. And on the 13th and 14th of April, Craig Chiquiso once again brings his amazing music and guitar virtuosity to the Camelot stage. Craig has entertained millions of people around the world with his Grammy-nominated Billboard No. 1 smooth jazz hits and as an original founding member of Jefferson Starship. Contact our box office at 541-535-5250 for more details.
All right, 541-535-5250, one of the easiest numbers to remember the entire Rogue Valley for Camelot Theater and Talent. Roy, thanks for joining us.
Certainly. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Let us turn to the Morrises now. I want to meet Jack and David Morris. It's it's hard to give you guys enough of an intro. You're something of cultural icons in West Virginia, at least the Morris family is. And you're here because there's a session tonight with Barbara Koppel, your friend, the filmmaker, at 6 o'clock at the Ashland Armory. It's an evening of music and conversation with Barbara Koppel, featuring David Morris, Jack Morris, and, of course, Barbara Koppel herself. Welcome to the Morrises.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So your family goes way back in West Virginia. I mean, we're talking, can you count back how many generations there have been Morrises from your branch in West Virginia?
We came to West Virginia following the Civil War. I'm going to just say grandfathers, okay, because I can't keep count of the greats.
Right, all the greats.
But my grandfather fought in the Civil War on the Union side, and he went in place of a rich man. So when he mustered out, he received $640, and he and his wife put all of their belongings in a little box and walked across from Morristown, Pennsylvania, which is where they were from originally. And that family is the family of James Morris that signed the Declaration of Independence. So he's our forebear in America. Then they settled in Wetzel County, West Virginia. And then there's a place there called Morris Run. It's just thick with relatives of mine that I've only met briefly once. And then his son came to Calhoun County, West Virginia, where he was my grandfather's grandfather, and my grandfather was born there in 1888, and my dad was born there in 1913. And in 21, they migrated over to the next county, Clay County, and purchased a farm. And we've been there ever since. But I'm an economic refugee now. I live in Columbus, Ohio. My wife's a professor at OSU, the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
That one, yes. And,
not the other Ohio State University, right?
Jack's, were at the Battle of Culloden in 1747 when Charles Edward Stuart got run out of Scotland in his attempt to take back the throne. They went to France with him into exile, and those three Ballingy brothers met up with Benjamin Franklin in some form or fashion when he was over there agitating, and they got on a boat and came to the colonies, joined the Continental Army, and they were on guard at Independence Hall, those three brothers, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, and my ancestor, was inside signing it. And then they were given land when the war was over. They spoke French, and were liaison between the French, was it DeGrasse, that came up from the Caribbean and pinned Cornwallis in
Yorktown. Mm-hmm.
They were there as liaison between Washington and him. And
at some point they picked up guitars.
Well, yes, after they stopped dodging bullets, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But then they were given land grants in what now Summers County, West Virginia, came there. They were the third European family to move in there. The two brothers were killed, and his grandfather, Isaac, survived. His Scottish wife died. He remarried a Cherokee woman and started another family. And then they refugeed out of there in the early 50s when the railroads and everything went down. So, yeah, we've been there a while.
certainly West Virginia institutions, but you guys, the Morris family, and it was you and your brother John, wasn't it?
Yes.
Got into Barbara Koppel's movie Harlan County, USA in the mid-70s.
Yes, we met Barbara. She'd have to tell you where because I can't remember, but she... came, spent some time with me, stayed I was living in Charleston with Judy Galloway. She was my girlfriend then, and Barbara and Craig, the sound man, were there, and I remember going down into the coal fields with her and looking around, and then she sort of, I lost track of her for a little while, and she was filming. And then she heard about the strike in Harlan County and went there. Subsequently, I met Arnold Miller when I came home from Vietnam. I'd been home a couple of months. I was hitchhiking to Charleston, and he picked me up, and he became president of the United Mine Workers. We watched the Yablonsky campaign, Miners for Democracy, my brother and I, for about a year, and we saw we satisfied ourselves that they were the real deal and could really mean something to West Virginia if they were elected. And so we joined their campaign in October of 1969 and was with the UMWA as rabble-rousers and singers up until 1982 was okay. The last time I worked for them. But when I went to the headquarters to volunteer, some people there, some of the Young Turks already knew who we were, and he told Mr. Yablonsky, I heard him say it in the office, he said, this guy ain't some turnip rolled off a truck out here. And if he wants to join the campaign, you should probably let him. Yeah. So I was taken in to meet the great man, and we exchanged pleasantries. And then he said, so you want to sing for me? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, okay, you sing the truth, and I'll tell the truth. Hmm. And he said, I need a campaign song. And I said, that's going to be rough, sir, because I don't know of anything that rhymes with Yablonsky. But that was what brought me into Harlan County, USA. Mm-hmm. The UMWA brought us in there to play at the strike several times.
All right. And there are tonight with Barbara Koppel at the Ashland Armory at 6 o'clock, the historic Ashland Armory. So it's David Morris and Jack Morris here in the studio in our first Friday art segment. I understand you want to play a song. Let's go to, was it Muhlenberg County? Was that your first choice?
Yeah, I think so. We'll do some of the others tonight, but this one's kind of easy and it's early in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jack, you have not said a word.
What would you like me to say?
I do not know.
Can you ever remember not playing music?
Sure.
Really? Yeah, when did you pick up a guitar?
Pretty good.
I watched my dad. He took me on the road for the first time when I was five. I still remember that like it was yesterday. We were pulling out of the driveway. I remember getting really sad looking at my mom as we're pulling out. By the time we got to the first gas station, I was over that. And then, let's see. Like I said, I watched and listened for 14 years, and then when I was about 14 and a half or so,
he's not much on the math, you know,
he set up a guitar for me, my mom's guitar, set it up for me. It was completely unplayable. the action was so high. Mm-hmm. My fingers were so young.
It's like cheese slicers on your fingers. Yeah.
It was so I tried to play it. I put it in the corner and said, well, that's not going to work. And later on that year, I came home from school, and it was just around Christmas time, and he was down in the basement making some noise, and I went down there, and he was playing an electric guitar on an amplifier, and that's what he got me for Christmas. So from that point on, I walked everywhere, and anyone that I could find, I could play, I would hook up with them. And that went on for about maybe a year and a half or so, and then I went to my dad because I wanted to play a song at my high school talent show called Handsome Molly. And I went and I said, I want you to teach me that song, and we've been playing together ever since. Mm.
All right, so it is David Morris and Jack Morris playing Muhlenberg County.
He heard Cobain do In the Pines, and he thought it was. I sang that song for the time he could remember, and he thought we're rich. Cobain recorded that song.
I did. That's the truth.
This is John Prine's song. I learned this song from Ruthie Gordon. Before John Prine became famous, before he recorded it, and I sang it all up through the Appalachian Mountains. So I was John the Baptist crying in the wilderness for John Prine. All right. When I was a child, family, I traveled down to western Kentucky, where my parents were born. There's a backwards old town I'm often so many times my memories are worn. And it's Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Sometimes we would travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Avery Hill, where the air smelled like snakes. We'd shoot with our pistols. Empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And it's Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? But well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. And the coal company came with the world's largest shovel. Tortured the timber and they stripped all the land. And then they dug for the coal till the earth was forsaken. Then they wrote it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting, 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train
And then space for applause here. This is the Jefferson Exchange. That is David Morris and Jack Ballengee Morris in the studio performing Muhlenberg County. They are part of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. And David's doing all this crowd noises for us. This is our first Friday art segment on the Jefferson Exchange. I do want to take one final call. Still standing by. Lori in Medford, thank you for waiting. Welcome to First Friday.
Hello. I'm here with the Rogue Valley Chorale. We are the oldest public chorale organization in Southern Oregon, and our upcoming concert is called Spring Splendor. We're starting with Bach and ending with the Beatles. In between, we're featuring the romance of spring, including music from two royal weddings, romantic poetry by Sarah Teasdale, set to music by David Childs, and the Rogue Valley's own Jody French. We are also joined by the Southern Oregon University Chamber Choir in an evocative piece by Eric Whitaker called Cloudburst, which we hope will bring more rain and alleviate our drought. Two performances only are at the end of the month, Saturday the 26th, 7:30 p.m., Sunday the 27th at 3 p.m. at the Criterion Theater in Medford. Tickets are available online at www.criterion.org or by calling 541-779-3000.
All right, so criterion.org, and it's Saturday the 26th and Sunday the 27th for the two performances by the Rogue Valley Chorale.
That's correct.
All right, Lori, thank you so much for joining us today on our first Friday art segment. Good to have you here. Back to David Morris and Jack Morris. Looks like we got time for one more. Can you fit in Gypsy Davey there, you think?
Yes, we can.
Oops, if we can manage to not get your stuff knocked off.
My brain almost fell in the floor. Gypsy Davey was an old folk song that was recorded in the 20s or early 30s by the Carter family, and I always sang that. And Jack would call me Gypsy Davey, and he'd say, about half crazy. And we were out in the garage one day, and he said that to me, and I said, that'd make a good song, Jack. Won't you write that? And before I could turn around and walk away from the bench, I picked up a carpenter's pencil, three of those little wedges that you set a door with, and wrote this song on either side of those wooden wedges, and I had more verses than I had sides, so I grabbed a two before I finished. this is Gypsy Davey after he saw the elephant. It's a term from the Civil War. The soldiers would say they'd seen the elephant.
All right. David Morris and Jack Morris here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Gypsy Davey, he's about half crazy, never quite came home from the Vietnam War. Time comes undone and he's right back in it, like it was only a minute before. Gypsy Davey loved his girlfriend, he loved his country even more. Now he can't tell the difference between that woman who loved him slipping down an alley with a sigh. Softly creep, really full.
hardly call it sleep. Don't try to wake Gypsy Davy in the night. You hear a scream. He's locked in the arms of that same old terror, where the dead ones chase him in a dream. With 100,000 brothers and sisters, he rode his Harley possessed it. Next they came and took it all. Now where is Gypsy Davy? Yes, Bruce Springsteen said it best. He's huddled some